All right, back at it. Effortless Provision. We are now in session 7. And this is one of my favorite subjects. It's called the unfolding. What is that, you might ask, John? Well, we're going to get into it. So I hope by now that you've been enjoying these sessions. We've done 6 surrounding this whole concept of effortless provision. And there's much, much more to talk about. And we're just getting started. We're just scratching the surface, meaning the entirety of humanity is scratching the surface of what this means to just stay in receive mode. You know, I just had a conversation with my sister the other day, and her whole life has been turned upside down in a good way in relation to effortless provision. Like myself, she has been one to just really put her nose to the grindstone and work hard and make it happen, like many of us. She's paid a big price health-wise because of it, and many of you can relate. Let me just ask you, what kind of price have you paid for forcing things and, you know, living in survival mode, working the long hours, never have any time for your family or play? What kind of a price have you paid? That's the question you should ask yourself in the mirror. What price am I paying right now in the name of provision, in the name of trying to get the extra dollar, in the name of, buying the new home or providing for your family? And some of those are very noble ideas, right? I mean, of course you want to provide for your family. Of course you want to get some things like, you know, a roof over your head and a car to drive, clothes on your body. Those are the basics. However, the big question is, how are we getting these things? You know, I would much rather, I've said this many times over the years, I would much rather have a faith story than a stressed out one. You know, we do these things on the job all the time. We sit around the break room or sitting next to somebody in their cubicle, and you talk about how bad your life sucks on the job. You know, how much you hate the job, or, man, I can't wait till Friday so I can go live my life, so I can go have fun, so I can make it till the next week. That's not living. So thank you. I want to thank you for listening to these series, because I know there's something in here for you. And by all means, let your friends know, let family members know, let relatives know about these sessions. I guarantee there's something that's going to be said that will set a light bulb off inside of you or them to cause change and transformation to happen. And the biggest area this can happen, the largest way, the most brilliant way, however you want to say it, to make this happen for yourself is to posture yourself in reception mode all throughout your day and night. You know, when we go to sleep, what we're doing is receiving. We are. We posture ourselves in receiving mode. You're not giving out. You're not forcing. You're not pushing and breaking. You're not making. You're not sweating it out and grinding it out. You're not doing the side hustle when you're sleeping. So think about how God designed us to be as human beings. So we need sleep in order to regenerate and revitalize and cause our bodies to re-energize with something that helps us throughout the next day. It's kind of like just wearing your batteries down, and then you need to recharge them. And so God's built that into human nature. Well, that's a sign from heaven as to what we should be doing most of the time. See, we don't sleep 24/7 unless you're sick or something, right? But we can certainly posture ourselves to receive 24/7. And when we do that, then to the degree we receive, just like I mentioned before, is to the degree we can give out. See, when we recharge, depending on how long that is about how many miles you have. When you have an electric car, you plug it in. If you plug it in for 2 minutes, well, you're going to get just that out of your car. You plug it in for the full allotted time to charge the entire battery, well, then you can go the 300 miles or whatever it is your range is on your car. You get the point? But it's amazing how many signs God gives us throughout life indicating something if we would only pay attention. Sleep is a big one. So, we're talking about on this session unfolding, letting it unfold, or what I like to call the great unfolding. And what is that? Well, when we begin to live in the present and we're conscious of that, we're aware that, wait a minute, I'm going to dial it down. I'm going to slow things down in my day to pay attention and to become aware of what I'm doing in this moment, in this day, in this hour. And when we present ourselves in such a way to remain present, and I know this is a challenge for a lot of us, it's a new, quote, discipline, if you will, to remain focused in the now. In other words, here's another little example is, what do you do in conversations? What do we do? Well, we're either present listening in that conversation and then we respond accordingly, or we're not. Our mind's somewhere else. It's on tomorrow, the next day, the dogs, the cat, the money, whatever, the kids. And then the person, if they're aware enough or they care enough, they call you out on it, right? Your friend calls you out on it and says, hello. You know, I hate that word when you're saying it in that context, but you get what I'm saying. You go, hey, you're not here with me, are you? And they say, no, I'm sorry. I'm thinking about my dog. I'm thinking about going to work tomorrow. Oh, ho, ho. And then it goes into all about them. And then you just lost your friend in the conversation when they were pouring their guts out to you about their own issues. And then you're like, oh, I'm sorry, I've been so distracted. I got a text message from my landlord and they're saying that I didn't pay the rent and I paid it 5 days early. What's wrong with these people? You know, the list goes on. And then it becomes a one-sided conversation instead of a receiving one. That's a good one. Have you ever been the receiver, a listening receiver in the conversation? Well, what happens is things begin to unfold naturally the way that they were supposed to unfold. So meaning that, say I'm sitting there and I'm listening to a friend and they're telling me about their move that's coming up. They're saying they're moving halfway across the country and they're sharing the excitement about it. And they're sharing some of the challenges and the steps that they're taking and all the stuff that they have to get together and all the yada, 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 right? And you're listening intently and you're responding to the things that they say, like, hey, you know what? I got a really good deal on a U-Haul. I mean, it's out of nowhere. They gave me like 30% off. And then on top of that, they gave me another 20. Well, it's a miracle if that happens, but you get what I'm saying. And so they're like, all excited about it. And then you respond like, oh man, that is so cool. You know, that's awesome. I'm so happy for you. I'm so glad that you got the discount. Man, it seems like things are working out and favor is on you for this move, huh? Tell me more about that. You got any more stories like that? Now that's being present, right? That's being in the moment and you're listening. Well, what begins to unfold in that conversation energetically is actually more favor. And why is that? Favor that can unfold for either party. Why is that? Because love is winning out in the conversation. The person feels heard. They feel blessed. They feel loved. Because you're listening and you're present. And then you get the joy out of listening to their story and their favor that they're getting. And energetically combined, a heart coherence starts to happen and cast forth a signal out into the atmosphere and starts to draw more favor in. It's the way it works. Don't ask me to explain that on a molecular level or a quantum level. Scientifically, all I know is that energetically, it begins to cast forth that heart coherent, brain coherent, Wi-Fi signal out into the atmosphere and draws likeness to it. You ever notice that? That like matches like. When you begin to pronounce things, whether negative or positive, other negative things or positive things begin to attract towards you. It's called the law of attraction, the genuine one. And because energy pulls on energy that's like itself, this is what begins to unfold in our lives and in that conversation. So then all of a sudden the phone rings or the text message comes in or the email pops or somebody walks up and says, man, you know, I just heard the conversation. You're moving to Texas? Oh, okay. I couldn't help it over here. I'm so sorry that I'm, you know, eavesdropping, but I couldn't help here. And you're moving to Tyler, Texas. And I have a friend in Tyler. And I heard that you're going there. Maybe they can help you out in finding some real estate. And don't worry, they're not going to hound you or anything. Maybe it's just a connection. And then you say, wow, I was just talking about that with another friend and how we were going to start looking for more realtors because the one I had isn't quite working out and I wanted some more connections. Boom. It was attracted out of nowhere. Really, it wasn't out of nowhere. You thought it was out of nowhere, but it was the energy attracting like to it. See? And that's what I mean by unfolding is things begin to unfold in the overtaking rather than having to chase them down and forcing an outcome, forcing a situation to happen. And you say, well, what's so wrong with that, John? Well, when we're talking about effortless provision here, what we're cultivating is a new way of thinking that has always been around. See, Jesus, the great generosity one, the great generous one, made of generosity, always has this heart coherence on. So the energy is always splashing out on the planet, even though he is in form, but by a spirit on planet Earth, but in bodily form in the heavenlies and appears all over the place. In bodily form, he's by his spirit, then that energy is always pulsating because he's creator of it all. Because it's always pulsating in generous form, then that heart coherence is always emanating, looking for a like match. That's why he says, I'm looking to and fro throughout the earth to see someone that will actually enter into heart coherence and match what I've always been giving out. See, his glory fills the earth. It floods the earth. It floods the planet. And because it is always pulsating and always turned on, we can always go in and dip into it and pull it towards us as we're drawing towards it. Like for like. And so when the unfolding happens, it's all about a posture of receiving. Now, you can unfold again by making something happen and forcing it to be so. And then you think, well, this is great, man. I'm a go-getter. I can just make things happen. I'm not lazy, and I'm a hustler, and I can just go out there and hustle it up. The problem with that is that you'll have to continue to amp it up in order to make it happen, and then you'll always be guessing, was that me, or was that favor being shown towards me because of heart coherence? Was I in heart coherence, or was that just me because I was impatient and trying to make something happen? See, presenting ourselves and placing ourselves, posturing ourselves in receiving mode has nothing to do with being lazy. You know when you're being lazy, right? I do. I know I'm just being flat out lazy and just, I'm not going to do anything. Well, when we posture or place ourselves in that state of mind, then actually the magnetism starts drawing in the negative type of vibes, starts drawing in the negative magnetic field and pull, and it starts matching it because laziness matches laziness. So you start to draw in the lazy things of life and those that are putting out the lazy vibes. But when we just present ourselves as is a reception mode, that's actually faith. Faith rests, my friends. It rests in knowing and believing and then presenting ourselves to match it. Our body, in other words, our body matches the belief. So our literal posture will put off, you know, the vibes or put off the energy or frequency of what we really believe. You ever see anybody or yourself walk around with your shoulders drooping and pulled forward and your head always looking down? I have. And I can tell you what I'm thinking in that moment when it happens. And it's not good, usually. Or I'm just tired or, you know, just not really coherent in that moment. And then I begin to draw other people like it around me, like my own posture is showing. You've seen it. If you're aware, you can look around and you'll be drawing people in the grocery store line, drawing them from work in the workplace, and they'll be going, oh man, oh, I can't wait for this day to be over. Man, it's just so hard here today. And because you are in that frequency, then you're like, oh. If you, again, if you have the awareness, you'll be going, oh, man, am I drawing this? Because that's more than one that just came around me today acting like that, saying the same things. Well, yes, it's because you're attracting it. So we can turn that around, though, my friends. We can actually cause ourselves to live in the unfolding of the next step. And when we live in the unfolding of the next step, that, I believe, is the best business plan on planet Earth when we're talking about business, when we're talking about relationships that you want to have happen in your life. When anything good that you've been believing for is something that you have said, okay, man, I'm believing, I want this to happen. The best way to see it accelerate is to live in the unfolding of the next step. In other words, the prompting, and in the book, in the Effortless Provision, I call them swirly. And you'll see why if you haven't read it. It's kind of a fun little thing that God and I, you know, Jesus and I were talking about and discussing, and the little swirly pops up. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Anyway, great visual in the book, but it's a good way to remember that swirly is always present. Prompting is always present to lead you into the next step. And why is this so important? Because we're utterly, it places us in a way that causes us to be completely dependent on the one we're one with inside of us. Only he knows what's around the next corner. Only he knows what lies ahead, right? And the divine appointments that we could have never seen in a million years. How many times you've added something overtake you and you're like, whoa, I didn't make that happen. I never would have thought it came in that way. Wow. See, those are the God suddenlies. Those are the God appointments that says, I want to bless you. And I want to show you that it's not just me trying to get you to be dependent on me, because that's not love. It's me wanting to do life with you in every moment and showing you that there is an accelerated way. There's an easier way. There's an effortless ability that is beyond your natural senses. It's beyond what you think you know right now. And I want to surprise you with it. See, a lot of people have a very difficult time not living a planned out life. Right? Maybe that's you listening to this, and you struggle so much if you don't have a plan, if you don't have goals for the next 5 years, if you don't have a plan that unfolds in the next week, the way you thought it should, and you just don't. And what that signifies is that you need a whole lot of security and stability, and you find some security in planning your life. Well, that seems honorable, right? It seems noble. It seems like a right thing to do. And maybe you were conditioned or trained by your parents or a parent to have all of these goals and strive to hit your numbers by the end of March or the end of the year. Strive to, you know, have a goal to be married by 25. and have three kids by the time you're 30. Strive to make your 100 grand or 200 grand or half a million in 5 years, whatever it may be. And so when life goes sideways because of our heart coherence or incoherence, whatever we're attracting, either way, and a schism happens, some boulders get thrown in our pathway, some detours take place, and then we're like, oh my goodness, how did I wind up here? How in the world did I marry the wrong person, you may be thinking? Not me. I know I married the right one, the one that was designed for me in oneness, but you may have thought that. You may have thought, well, man, if I wasn't so impatient, or man, if I just made a left turn, I knew it. But I made a right one 15 times. Kept wanting to go right. And I knew in my gut I was supposed to go left. You're beating yourself up over it, right? You're shaming yourself. Well, we know that's not the answer. But nevertheless, we do it, right? We do it to some level. And then you're thinking, how in the world did I get here? Because I planned my life and the plan didn't work out. Or my parents planned my life and their plan didn't work out. I went the other way. Whatever the situation may be, the easiest way out of it is to dial it down to living present and live in the next step of the unfolding. Now, at first, it's really scary if you haven't done this before. But I guarantee you, the more you practice this, even in the smallest steps, even in the smallest thought process or ways, trusting him to get up in the morning and put your feet on the other side of the bed just to break up that old energy and circulate new energy. Circulate a new pattern in your neurological system. Break up the old fibrosis of your neurons and start rewiring them into the next step of something new. See, you can start with the smallest of ways. If you've had coffee every day for the last 20 years, maybe try tea or juice or a different brand of coffee, something different. And then place your mug in a different area on the nightstand, or put it on the complete opposite of the bed and then hop over to the opposite. Whatever. Do a small change and then watch something unfold in the way of energy and frequency. And then all of a sudden, things will start getting larger and larger the more you take the next step into the unfolding. And what we're talking about here is not forcing an outcome, even in the smallest way, so much as, you know what, I feel like I need to do something different today. And then you follow that feeling, you follow that prompting, right? Because I guarantee you, most of the time, Jesus in us is prompting or leading or guiding us into something that's going to circulate new energy that will cause us to come into receiving mode for him to be able to step in and bring that thing about in our lives. Why is it important? Because sometimes we get into these cycles and these trenches and patterns that keep us going down this well-worn path, when God all along wants to continually cause us to grow and to mature. And that requires change, my friends. Even in the smallest of ways, like we've been discussing. So try something different. Don't force it. If it's forced, it's not led. It's not unfolding. It's not opening up to the next step. Right? We're always led by peace. We're led by joy. We're led by the fruit of the Spirit. And because all nine elements of the fruit of the Spirit are embedded in rest, think about that. Really chew on that for a minute. They all have elements of rest. Their foundation is rest, because love is rest. And love is the highest goal. But love is the highest goal, and love is producing these elements in and through us in our soul, then that means we have a bedrock inside of us that is really exuding heart coherent rest. Okay? And because it is, There's a peace that abounds. It surpasses all understanding, and that peace will lead us in the great unfolding. And the awesome part about this is that things start happening in acceleration in a way that you could have never done in trying to match matter for matter. Trying to force something that would take 5 or 10 years when, in fact, it could take 5 minutes if we shifted ourselves into receiving mode and dialing our mind down to living in the present moment. And each time we practice that, then something else beautiful begins to pop over our lives in a good, good way. And then we're like, wow, is this too good to be true? No, it's not. It is true and it is good. This is the overtaking of generosity, Christ himself wanting to provide for us in every way. And see, this is what causes us to become even more creative. Not lazy, not more lazy or in a place where we don't want to do anything. No, this causes creative juices to flow in us. And remember, we talked all about creativity in another session. Creativity is not just somebody being an artist. Creativity is who you are. It's who you're made of. It's what you're made of. We're one with creativity himself. And because we are, and we're creative beings, we can't help but not be creative. We can't help but to be creative. We want to be creative. Meaning that if your creativity in the next step of the unfolding is to creatively balance your coffee mug in the morning on a pole of some kind, a small little tripod of some kind that you have by the bed, and you're balancing it just right, and you're like, okay, I'm being a little creative here. Hope this, works. And so what do? You're tinkering around. Now, that's kind of silly, right? But what if your creativity is just to rearrange something on your nightstand? What if your creativity is to put on a different bedspread and then mix colors, to where it looks beautiful and creative? What if your creativity is to place the soap in the shower in a different way and you all of a sudden cause an invention to happen? You don't know. That's what I'm talking about, is creativity is in the unfolding of something that's new energy. Creativity is new circulating energy because we're made of it. So you're circulating and you're cycling and you're swirling energy when you put your hand to something that is different. And okay, let's take that up a notch. That's in the smallest of sense, or the easiest of ways. Now take it up a little. What do you love doing? Okay, when we're living in the now and the unfolding of the next step, we're not waiting for something to happen and trying to determine an outcome. We're so absorbed in living in the present moment in our creative flow that we forget about outcomes. And that, my friend, is what we're going to talk about in the next session, detaching from outcomes.